Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
The sermon for today, the fourth Sunday after Trinity, I'm calling Getting Saved is Better Than a Reward. It is a gift. And by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. The last part of this morning's gospel lesson is directed at people who tend to be extremely critical of others. We may not know any such people personally, but we have all heard that they do exist. Jesus is saying that if you are mercilessly critical of others, that is a sure signal that there is something about yourself that you have not dealt with. That is what he means by the mote and the beam, the speck and the log. He cautions us not to be too quick to tell other people what is wrong with them, and how, in our great wisdom, we might be able to help them out. Jesus suggests that when we are tempted in that direction, we should first ask ourselves, is it possible that the thing that drives me crazy about this other person may be something of which I am guilty, but I would rather point it out in him than face it in myself? His advice is, of course, to face it in yourselves, confess it, and try with the Holy Ghost's help to do something about it. Then we shall be ready to straighten everybody else out. He concludes, rather acidly, "Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." This past Thursday was the prayer book's feast of St. John the Baptist. He is a crucial figure in the drama of Advent, but it is good to have another chance at the opposite end of the year to give him some thought. John is the character who most clearly connects the Old Testament to the New. And Jesus says of him, "Among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist." Sorry about that. The lesson about the mote and the beam is not particularly applicable to John, even though he wound up losing his head because he criticized the king's adulterous marriage. The New Testament portrays John as a man fueled with a sense of divine vocation and almost devoid of egotism. That is to say, there was no selfish element in his criticism of the king or anyone else. John is an Old Testament prophet who has wandered onto the pages of the New Testament. His birth to aged and previously barren parents echoes that of Isaac. His father prophesies at his circumcision that he will fulfill the prophecies of both Isaiah and Malachi, namely that God would send someone along before the Messiah to get everything ready for him. John appears on the stage of history dressed up like the Old Testament prophet Elijah, who Malachi said would come back just before the Lord's appearance. Like the prophets of centuries before, John pronounces God's judgment, and he doesn't seem to care whom he might offend. His opening words in St. Luke's Gospel are, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Few professors of preaching would counsel addressing one's hearers as sons of snakes. The most significant thing John did to get things ready for the Messiah was to set up the stage on which he came into public view and to attract a public to view him. John preached that the Messiah was coming, and that people needed to get themselves ready for him by repenting, and that the way to show they had repented was to get themselves dunked in the Jordan River. That brought the crowds. After the baptism, John said what he did was on the direct authority of God, that Jesus should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And again I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Later on, John began to lose some of his followers to Jesus and fell behind him in the number of baptisms performed. He reassured his friends that that was all part of what God intended. Jesus is the groom at the heavenly wedding, where John is only the best man. When the groom appears, he takes center stage. John told them, he must increase and I must decrease. I quoted Jesus earlier as having said, among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. But he finishes that thought up with the words, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John is less than the least person in the kingdom of heaven for chronological rather than moral reasons. The kingdom of heaven arrives fully with the death and resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Ghost. John was not alive to know about those things or to benefit from them as we have. Jesus is not attacking John the Baptist or trying to make us think he is not going to heaven in the end. He wants us to see that getting saved and going to heaven are not rewards for being good, even if you are as good as John the Baptist was. Getting saved is better than a reward. It is a gift. Jesus sums it up for us saying, he sent unto John, and he bare witness of the truth. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, the works which the Father hath given me to finish. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.